Let's go to Luke chapter 14 at verse 25, beginning hanggang verse 33. Samahan po ninyo ako sa pagbabasa ko. Kung English, sa English po ako magbabasa, kung kayo ay Tagalog, basahin po ninyo sa inyong mga Biblia. Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 25. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest, after he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the others is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Heavenly Father, we come to you and ask, Lord, for the enlightenment of your Holy Spirit upon this word. Dalangin ko, Panginoon, ikaw po ang sa amin ay magpakain spiritually at dalangin po namin maiuwi namin ang nais mong sabihin para sa amin sa araw na ito. Sa pangalan ng iyong anak na si Jesus, ito po ang aming dalangin. Amen. Hallelujah. I'd like to talk to us about Christian commitment. Title po ng ating mensahe ay Pagiging Hukbo na Katalaga bilang Mga Kawal ng Panginoong Jesus. Bilang sundalo ng Panginoong Jesus o kawal ng Panginoong Jesus. Hallelujah. So Christian commitment. Ito po ay point number 6 dun sa message ni Pastor Norman nung siya ay tumayo dito noong ating anniversary. Sabi po doon sa point na iyon ay be fully committed to Him as part ng bahagi ng mensahe doon sa Becoming Victorious Army of God. Na po, being fully committed to Him, to God, and to His work or to His cause. Commitment can be simply defined as seeing something through. Ibig sabihin po ay yung tapusin ng isang bagay o katatagan na tumapos ng isang bagay na sinimulan. Seeing something through. Kung meron mang bahagi ng buhay Kristiyano kung saan tayo ay atakihin ng kaaway, ito po ay isa. No, ang commitment po natin sa pagtatalaga ng ating buhay sa Panginoon, our commitment to live for and serve the Lord Jesus Christ will suffer a great beating from the enemy. The attack of the enemy will be centered on that, yung commitment natin. No po, yung atakihin ng kaaway para tayo ay hindi magpatuloy. But this virtue or quality has been the backbone of every achievement. Tingnan man natin sa secular, anumang bagay po na nagtagumpay na ginawa ng tao, whether it be an invention or an endeavor, isang adhikain, isang aspiration, ito po ay sapagkat ang mga tao ay nagtalaga sa cause na iyon, sa adhikain na iyon. For 70 years, communism ruled the whole country of the then-known USSR. Yung pong Russia. And that was because there were 17 committed young people who take it to heart to propagate the teachings of Karl Marx. Po. So, kung merong commitment, meron pong kahihinatnan. Seeing things through. Kaya makita nila na matapos yung kanilang sinimulan. Commitment is what differentiates the quitter from the finisher. Ito raw po ang pagkakaiba ng isang taong tumitigil, nagkukwit, at isang taong nagpapatuloy para matapos ang kanyang sinimulan. It is, commitment is that thing which differentiates the boys from the real men. tropo ang pagkakaiba ng mga batang lalaki at yung mga matipunong lalaki. John chapter 6 verse 6 says, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." Simula ng panahon yon, marami sa kanyang mga alagad ang hindi na nagpatuloy na lumakad na kasama niya. Madali pong tandaan yung verse yon, John 6:6. John 6:6. Don't be a John 6:6 Christian. Ito po yung mga hindi nagpapatuloy sa Panginoon. One way or the other, hindi sila nagpapatuloy. Commitment is the attitude or willingness to pay the price in order to get a difficult thing undertaken. Ito po yung pagnanasa o willingness, yung kalaanan ng isang tao na magbayad kung anuman ang kapalit para lang makamtan. Tulad din po yan sa panliligaw, yung panunuyo noong araw, noong mga matatanda, na sila'y nanunuyo at gagawin nilang lahat para suyuin ang kanilang iniibig upang makamtan yung kanyang oo. Yun ay commitment, pagtatalaga. At mali natin pong maikabit sa word na commitment na yan, yung perseverance, yung patience. Commitment does not ask, how hard shall I try? It doesn't ask the question, how hard shall I try? But it answers, whatever it takes. Commitment says, whatever it takes. Ano man ang kailangan, sige, ako ay willing. Therefore, for the Great Commission to be fully finished, kung ang dakilang utos ay matatapos natin, we need to become an army of committed soldiers of Christ who would get the job done. Kung ito ay matatapos natin, dapat tayo po ay maging hukbo, ng mga nakatalagang kawal ng Diyos. That we are committed first of all to Christ and secondly to His cause, yung kanyang adhikain, yung kanyang layunin. We need to be committed greatly to Christ first and then to His cause. So I'd like to talk today about Christian commitment, ang pagtatalaga. All right, for us to become a victorious army of God, we need to major in the area of commitment. At yan po ay napakalawak. Anyways, point number one po para sa araw na ito, Jesus hates a half-hearted commitment. Ang Panginoong Yesus ay umaayaw, ayaw ng Diyos. Yung pong ating puso ay kalahati lamang. I talked about this on my last message, previous message, which is having an undivided heart. Isang magkapagkakaroon ng isang puso na buong-buo para sa Panginoon. Well, I will not repeat myself there, pero doon po ay ginamit ko yung salita ng Diyos, Revelation 3:15, sa Laodicean Church ay sinabi ng Panginoong Jesus, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Alam ko ang iyong mga gawa, ikaw ay hindi malamig o hindi mainit. Sana ikaw ay naging mainit o malamig. Dahil dito, ikaw ay maligam-gam. Hindi nga mainit, hindi malamig. Susuka kita sa aking bibig. Alright. So, pasimula ng mensaheng ito, nais ko lang i-highlight sa atin po yung pagkakaroon ng isang pusong undivided, isang pusong buo sa Panginoon. There is a Christian witness in almost all of the nations of the world today. Meron pang mga bahagi ng sanlibutan na hindi pa naaabot ng ebanghelyo. But, almost all nations, geographical nations of the world, there is already a Christian witness. And the reason for this is because of the unwavering commitment of the dedicated soldiers of Jesus Christ in the past and present generations. Kaya meron na pong na sumasaksi sa mga bansa, halos sa lahat ng mga bansa, dahil po sa pagtatalaga na mga dedikadong sundalo o kawal ng Panginoon sa mga nakaraang henerasyon at maging sa henerasyon po na kasalukuyan ngayon. Of course, we will be eternally grateful to the first American missionaries who came in 1898 and spread biblical Christianity to our country. Tayo po ay walang hanggang tatanaw natin sa Panginoon at doon sa mga unang missionary na dumating dito noong 1898, pagkatapos talunin ng mga Amerikano ang mga Kastila doon sa Battle of Manila Bay under Admiral Dewey, at binuksan ni President McKinley ang Pilipinas para sa pag-educate ng ating bansa. Of course, hindi po lahat ng dumating dito ay Kristiyano. Kaya nga mayroong mga atrocities, mayroong pong mga pagmamalabis na nangyari din doon. But President McKinley's intention was very noble. Nais siya pong bitiwan na sana ang Pilipinas on her own. Nais siyang pabayaan na lamang tayo. But in prayer one night, you know, by the bedside, the Lord spoke to him. And ito po ay documented at sinabi niya na, sinabi ng Panginoon daw sa kanya na i-educate mo sila. And that's why when we look at yung ating pong history, beginning the time, dumating po yung mga missionaries, and along with those missionaries were the Thomasites. And some of them were Christians. Now, yung mga Thomasites, sila po yung mga educators na kung saan ay nagbigay po sa atin ng karunungan, kaalaman. And today, we are the third largest English-speaking nation in the world. At ayan po ay manifesting dito sa pagkakaroon ng mga call centers. You know, we have more or less there about now 500,000 people employed in the call centers all over the country. And this year alone, in 2011, there will be more or less 85,000 more. Tayo po, nahigtan na natin ang India pagdating po diyan. And I think Manila has become the number 4 no city in the world that has the most number of call centers. Cebu is number 9. And then the other provinces or cities in the Philippines as well, that's the top 100. So that speaks well, you know, of the education that we receive from the Americans. Yan po ay nagpapatunay na merong naibahagi sa atin ng mga Amerikano na hindi po nagkaroon ng ibang bansa. Ang hindi po natin dini-deride yung Singlish, na yung Singapore English. Pero kung kayo po ay makakausap, na pag nag-dial kayo ng toll-free number, tapos Singaporean po ang makausap ninyo, mahirap po talagang intindihin. Minsan nangyari po sa akin yan. Akala ko dito ako tumatawag sa Makati, yung pala ay sa Singapore yung tinatawagan ko. Tapos sabi ko, am I calling Singapore? Sabi niya, yes. Sapagkat na detect ko yung kanya English ay Singlish. Of course, we're not perfect. Our way is Filipino English. Nevertheless, meron pong kaliwanagan ano po na masasabi. At yan, isa sa mga bunga ng edukasyon. But the greater part and the most important part of Americans coming to our nation is bringing biblical Christianity. For at that time, apat na raang taon na tayo sa ilalim po ng mga Kastila, and they have brought to us a Christianity wherein the gospel has been obscured. Ibig sabihin po nun, dinala ng mga Kastila sa ating pong bansa, 400 taon na silang naririto at ang kanilang pagmamalabis ay talagang sobra na, tama na, no? Kaya nga po isinulat ni Gato C. Rizal yung kanyang Nolimit Tangere at El Filibisterismo. At tampok ng mga nobelang ito ang pagmamalabis ng mga fraile doon. At ito po ay big hit. Ito ay binan sapagkat ito ay pagtuligsa sa kasalukuyang administrasyon noong panahon po nila. Yet when America came in 1898 and brought with them the gospel, nagkaroon po ng tinatawag na Evangelical Union. Ang Baptists, ang Methodists, ang Presbyterians, sila po ay nagkaroon ng tinatawag na committee, C-O-M-I-T-Y, kung saan ay hinati po nila ang Pilipinas para hindi sila magkatapakan ng paa. And if you go around the nation today, makikita nyo po yung traces ng mga strongholds ng kanya-kanyang denominations. Pupunta kayo sa mountain provinces, makikita nyo po yung Anglican denomination ay prevalent po diyan. Sa bandang Zambales hanggang Central Luzon, ang United Methodists po ay malakas po riyan. Ang United Brethren naman po sa bandang Mindoro and then Bicol. Tapos sa baba po, karamihan ng mga concentration ng Baptists, lalo na sa Mindanao. May kita mo pa yung traces. Sa Silliman University, doon po sa Dumaguete. Alright, so yung university na yon, it's the first Protestant university in the Philippines. At ang gagaling, mahusay po yung universidad na yon, maraming nanggagaling doon na mga professionals na Filipino. Now, throughout almost 2 millennia of Christianity, purposeful, mission-oriented Christ lovers have counted the cost, have been willing to pay the price. Sa halos 2,000 taon na po ng Kristyanidad, maraming nagmamahal kay Kristo na may layunin at mission orientation ang lumunsad at nagpakasakit para po sa Ebanghelyo. Many have paid the price and many have lost their lives. Marami po ang sumunod sa Panginoon, marami po ang nagbuwis ng buhay. This continues to happen today. Ito'y nagpapatuloy na mangyari sa ating panahon ngayon. For these types of Christian, the Great Commission is not a great option. The Great Commission is a great commitment. It is a great purpose. It is a great mission for their life. Now, it has been observed that only 20% of church people do the work for the church. 20% lamang ng mga tao sa iglesia ang gumagawa ng trabaho para sa buong iglesia. That's the observation. That's the statistics. 80% the remaining characterize the Laodicean brand of lukewarm Christianity. Ang 80% po na naiiwan ng mga Kristiyano, ang kanila pong klase ng Christianity ay yung Laodicean brand. Yung katulad sa Laodicea, lukewarmness. And lukewarmness, as I told you in my last message, is a sign of undivided of a divided heart. Isang sinyales, isang sintoma sa isang pusong hati, hindi isang pusong buo sa Panginoon. Now, a true disciple of Christ pledges himself to his cause. Ang isang tao na nakatalaga sa Panginoong Hesukristo ay sumusumpa sa kanyang adhikain. Sumusumpa siya roon. The great difference between the 20 and 80% lies in the word commitment. Yung 20%, they have realized that, you know, their commitment will require for them to do such things beyond the ordinary way of life. Higit pa sa ordinaryo ang hinihingi ng Panginoon. It cannot be business as usual. Yung po ang hinihingi. This 20%, they are in active pursuit of the attainment of the goals of Jesus Christ. Meron po silang aktibong partisipasyon sa mga layunin at adikain ng ating Panginoon. Bilang mga Kristiyano, ang ating pong adikain ay ang adikain ni Kristo, ang maabot ng Ebanghelyo ang buong sanlibutan. What if we get all the 9 million Filipino Christians to evangelize the whole of the nation? And that's easily one Christian to 10 Filipinos, because we are now at 90 million over. And there are about 9 million Christians in the Philippines today. Of course, that would also include perhaps yung mga children. Pero sabihin na lang natin, 9 million ng mga Christians, tig sa 10 lang po tayo. Kung sa buong Pilipinas ay magkakaisa ang mga Kristiyano at aabot ang bawat isang Kristiyano ng 10 hindi mananampalataya, this nation will become Christian. But it's easier said than done. Madaling sabihin kaysa sa gawin po ito. And the difference again lies in the word commitment. Kailangan ng commitment ng bawat isang Kristiyano. So that's the figure that we have today. 10% of the Filipino people are Christian. The greatest problem of the church is not persecution from the outside, especially now in our country. Our greatest problem is not persecution in the outside, but lukewarmness in the inside. Pagiging maligamgam sa loob ng ating tahanan-tahanan ng Panginoon. There are enough bench warmers in the pew, P-E-W. Yun po yung upuan na mahaba. Ano? Sa makikita ninyo sa mga simbahan, even sa mga Protestant churches, mayroong pew na tinatawag, P-E-W. There are enough bench warmers in the pew that so few, F-E-W naman, are willing to make the difference for Christ. Maraming nagpapainit ng puwit ano po, sa upuan, kaya't iilan lamang ang nakalaan na gumawa para kay Kristo. Jesus is looking for those whose hearts are undivided. Jesus hates half-hearted commitment. And therefore, let us give our wholehearted commitment to Him. Point number two, our commitment to Jesus and His cause will mean Him becoming first in all things. Ang ating pong pagtatalaga sa Panginoong Jesus ay mangangahulugang Siya ang mauuna sa lahat. It will mean Jesus becoming first in all things. Jesus is saying that if you're going to be my disciple, then it will cost you. It will cost you good and it will cost you much. Jesus said in Luke 14:26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now that's hard in itself. That verse is difficult to interpret. But praise God, God interprets His own word. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So yung pala, Jesus does not literally teach us to hate literally our parents, our loved ones. Hindi niya po tayo tinuturuan na mamuhi sa ating mga minamahal. Ito po ay, dun tawagin sa figure of speech, ay hyperbole. Striking exaggeration. Anong ginagawa ng Panginoong Jesus dito? Ang itinuturo niya sa atin, mahalin mo ang iyong mga magulang at mga kapatid, ngunit kailangang ako'y nakahihigit sa kanilang lahat. We need to love the Lord Jesus more than our parents, more than our wife, more than our children, our brothers and our sisters. If you're a single person, your love for Jesus must be more than your love for your own parents. You need to honor your parents, but you cannot love them more than you love the Lord. Sapagkat Jesus wants the first place in your own life. Nais po ng Panginoon na siya ay maging una sa lahat ng earthly relationships. Una sa lahat ng earthly relationships. So the Christian may have to face up to rejection. From who? From his own parents, kung siya ay single. Maaring i-deny siya. And young people have suffered, you know, being denied because of their commitment to Christ. I remember, si Pastor Nandi, nung araw, pinalaya siya ng kuya niya. Si Brother Willie, ganoon din. You know, at yung isa pang leader ng young people noon dito sa church, pinalaya sila sapagkat hindi naiintindihan kung ano nangyari sa kanilang buhay. You know, and children, you know, especially from coming from Muslim background, believers, they are being rejected, denied, and even being killed by their own relatives because they have become Christians. That's the price that others have to pay. The Christian's marriage might come under strain as one partner becomes a believer in Christ. Pagkada po ang isang taong may asawa ay nakakakilala sa Panginoon, kuminsan naaapektuhan yung kanilang pagsasama for the reason na yung pong tao, yung partner na yun na nakakilala, ay nagiging committed kay Kristo, nababago ang kanyang buhay. Whereas before, siya po ay okay lang. Kung ano yung ginagawa ng asawa niya, kung nagsusugal yung asawa niya, nagsusugal din siya. Okay lang po ang lahat. No? Walang nagra-rock nung kanilang boat. But that suddenly one believer, one partner becomes a Christian. Nagbago ngayon yung kanyang pananaw sa buhay. At ngayon po ay nagiging dahilan ito kung bakit ang kanilang marriage ay humihina, sabi nga natin. That married person must be abiding and fully committed to Christ more than what is happening in his marriage. Hindi ko po ibig sabihin na kailangan hiwalayan niya yung kanyang asawa. Ang sabi po sa banal na Biblia, kung ang asawa ng hindi mananampalataya ay gustong humiwalay sa kanya, wala siyang magagawa. Kung halimbawa, hihiwalayan siya ng kanyang asawa dahil sa kanyang pananampalataya, at nangyari na po dito yan, meron isa tayong kapatirang, wala na siya rito, niniwalayan siya ng kanyang asawa, pinagpalit siya ng kanyang asawa dahil sa kanyang pananampalataya. Malaki po ang pananagutan ng taong iyon. Pero sa ganang ating kapatiran, malaki ang kanyang gantimpala sa Panginoon sa wakas ng panahon. If the Christian is single, his or her faith will have a major impact on whom he or she will eventually marry. Pag isang lalaking dalaga o binata o dalaga, babae ay nakakilala na sa Panginoon, malaki po ang impluensya nito sa kung sino ang kanyang mapapangasawa. Aminsan yung mga Christian singles, sila ay natitempt na makipag-ugnayan sila sa hindi mga mananampalataya. And that spells ruin, destruction para po sa kanila. Kasi you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve yourself and serve Christ. Pag ginawa ng isang tao yon, siniserve niya yung kanyang sarili, not serving Christ. He or she is serving her flesh or his flesh or his own desire and not the desire of Christ for him. And that spells ruin. Yun po nagkakaroon ng mga problema sa kanyang buhay. So, basically, sinasabi natin, if you are a Christian, a non-Christian partner is out. Hindi po pwede. Sapagkat si Kristo ang nagsabi, priorities are changed. Bago ang mga prioridad sa buhay. Jesus comes first now. Siya na po ang una sa iyong buhay. A committed Christian's relationship with his or her children may need to change. Ganun din. Sa mga anak, dati pabaya lang siya sa kanyang mga anak. Now that he has become a Christian, naiintindi ang kanyang salita, oh, I have a responsibility to teach them the Word of God. And that will require confrontation and discipline. Marami mga magulang takot mag-confront ng mga anak at dumisiplina sa kanilang mga anak. They would rather that their children be left alone para merong katahimikan sa loob ng bahay. And yet, if we do so, we fail. We fail in the aspect of obedience to the Word of God. So therefore, we need to confront and we need to discipline. Nababago ang lahat ng bagay. Going back to Luke 14:26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, ibig sabihin, who does not love his mother and father less, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Being a committed disciple of Jesus will affect a person's closest relationships. Jesus is first, and he must be first. Therefore, to be a committed Christian, to be a committed disciple of Jesus, would mean Jesus becoming first in everything in our own life. Number two, our commitment to Christ and His cause will mean a changed in lifestyle. Yung pong pagtatalaga natin sa Panginoong Jesus at sa Kanyang adhikain ay nangangahulugan ng pababago ng pamamaraan ng pamumuhay. Luke 14:27, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And Jesus here is describing a life of sacrifice, or rather, living sacrifice. And that's what Paul tells us Si Pablo ay nagturuan sa atin sa Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, na ang ating buhay maging mga haing buhay sa Panginoon. We are to get on to the altar and offer ourselves to God. Altar of life. Araw-araw po yun. When Jesus carried His cross, He was on the way to give His life for us. Nang si Kristo ay nagbata ng kanyang krus patungo doon sa Golgotha, siya po ay paroon sa dako na kung saan ihahain niya ang kanyang buhay para sa ating lahat. In the same way, a disciple carries his cross by giving his life for others. Hindi naman tayong mga nakatalagang disipulo ng Panginoon ay binabata natin ang ating krus, pasan natin ito upang ibigay ang ating buhay una sa Panginoon at sa ibang tao. Practically speaking, this means that we will have to make changes in our own life. Kailangan, kung tayo po'y susunod at magpapasa ng ating krus, magbabago tayo ng lifestyle. Magbabago tayo ng ating mga hilig. Jesus will leave no area of our life alone. Walang bahagi ng buhay ng ating buhay na hindi pakikialaman ng Panginoong Jesus. Hello? Lahat ng bahagi ng buhay natin, pakikialaman ng Panginoong Yesus. He will not leave any area of our life alone. Papakialaman ngayon, paano tayo gumasta? Paano tayo manamit? Paano tayo mamuhay? Paano tayo magsalita? Anong bibilhin natin? Anong plano natin sa inaharap? Sinong mapapangasawa natin? How do we relate to authorities? Pakikialaman ng Panginoon ang lahat ng iyan, mga kapatid. He would have us give up control of every aspect of our life. Nais niyang isuko natin ang lahat ng bahagi ng ating buhay. We have no right to say no to Jesus, because if He is indeed Lord of our life, then all we can say is, yes, Lord. Hindi tayo pwedeng humindi sa Panginoon kung Siya ang Panginoon ng ating buhay. And in any area of our life, Jesus is saying the same thing. If any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Commitment to Christ and his cause will require us to deny ourselves and instead to follow Jesus by doing things his way in every aspect of his life. This world will be known. Will be won only by committed, dedicated disciples of Jesus Christ who are willing to change their way of life so that the gospel of Jesus might be proclaimed even to the darkest places of the world. Maukuha lamang po natin ang sanlibutan ito kung tayo ay mga dedikado at nakatalagang alagad, kawal ng Panginoong Jesucristo. And this is how we become a victorious army of God, to make Jesus first in all of our life and also to be willing to change in our lifestyle. Paano natin ginagamit ang salapi ng Panginoon? The moment we receive our paycheck, we say, okay, Lord, 10% sa iyo, 90% sa akin. When the truth is, the whole of it is the Lord's. Practical lang, kaya binibigay sa atin ng Panginoon yung 90%. Jesus still has something to say with the 90%. Especially if that 90% is like 50,000 pesos for you or 90,000 pesos for you. Every month, Jesus also has something to say there. Meron din po siyang pakialam doon. To carry one's cross, to be a living sacrifice, may be very, very costly. Pagpasan ng ating krus at maging isang haing buhay ay pagbabayaran po natin ng malaki. And Jesus made it plain. Jesus made it plain. Pinaliwanag ng Panginoon at liwanag ng Panginoon, if you want to come and become my disciple, these are my rules and these are my requirements. Today, inaalo-alo ng mga mangaral, yung mga tao, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Pero nung araw na yon, sabi po, simula ng ating verse, multitudes were following the Lord Jesus. And Jesus drew the line that day. Nag-drawing ang Panginoon ng isang linya. He drew the line that day. You want to come after me. You want to come after me. Deny yourself fully. Anyone who can do that, now step over my side. And those who stepped over did follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It means giving all of our time and all our money. When I say all our money, of course, naiintindihan ko na ito po ay may bahagi tayong mga pangangailangan. But to make Jesus Lord of our finances, it means loving the unlovable and touching the untouchable. It means for some of us that someday we will leave our job and follow the Lord Jesus Christ all the way into the ministry and into the mission field. Not all of us, but some of us. Yung pong pagdedeny ng ating sarili will require us sometimes to change jobs, to change address, to change nation even, to follow the call of God in our life. Ito'y nangangahulugan din ng katapatan, ng honesty, ng integrity in everything we do. It means loving and forgiving however we have been wronged by others. Yung laan tayong magpatawad at humingi ng tawad kung kinakailangan. It means a life of moral and sexual purity. It means daily confronting and putting right the wrongs we do to God and the wrongs we do to others. A changed lifestyle. Number three, our commitment to Christ and His cause will mean a changed attitude regarding our possessions. And it's very important. Why? Because we are materially oriented. Ang pagiging nakatalaga sa Panginoon sa Kristo at sa kanyang adhikain ay mangangahulugan ng pagbabago ng ating damdamin tungkol sa ating tinatangkilik, yung ating kayamanan, yung ating possessions, whatever they are. Luke 14 and 33. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. And that would mean dedicating everything that we possess to Christ, forsaking all, a willingness to turn over to God what is truly His. To say and recognize, Lord, this is yours, not mine. In addition to being prepared to change our priorities and to change our lifestyle, we must be prepared to change our attitude regarding money and possessions. Everything we consider our own, actually is not ours. It is God's. God is the true owner of our possession. We are only stewards. Again, easy to say than easy to do. Lahat ay ibinigay lamang sa atin. Sinabi na ni Job yan, napakayamang tao. Hubad akong dumating sa sanlibutan, hubad din po akong aalis, ang wika niya. And so we need to realize indeed that we are but stewards of God. Tayo po'y katiwala lamang ng Diyos. Knowing this truth might lead us to change our ambitions. Baguhin ang ating mga ambisyon. Baguhin ang ating mga trabaho. At sabi ko kanina, baguhin maging ang ating tirahan. Alang-alang sa Panginoon. Baguhin ang ating damit. Baguhin kung paano natin ginugugol ang ating panahon. Maaari siguro lahat ay babaguhin po natin alang-alang sa ating commitment sa ating Panginoong Hesukristo. Sabi ko doon sa isang businessman, bakit hindi ka naman magbakasyon? Kayang-kaya mo naman magbakasyon, pumunta ka sa mga malalapit na bansa. Dito po ang sabi niya sa akin, Pastor, sayang pa eh. Magagamit natin sa gawain. You know? And I honor him for that decision. Although, kailangan ma-realize din natin, kailangan natin ng bakasyon paminsan-minsan. Pero sabi niya, sayang pa, Pastor. Magagamit pa natin sa ganito at sa ganyan. So maganda po yung puso noong taong yon. Nakikita na si Kristo ang magmamay-ari ng kanyang puso. Well, weeks past, we have a message on money. Nagkaroon po tayo ng mensahe tungkol sa pananalapi noong June 5. No? Binahagi sa atin ni Sister Leonora Von Thunder. So nasa issue po yan ng June 19 na Sunday Bulletin. No? Basahin po ninyo yun. But I'm going to invite you come September 17. I've asked Sister Leonora to do a seminar with us for a whole day. Isang araw po na pag-uusapan natin yung possessions, yung pera na iyon. So on an expanded way, ibabahagi niya po. Hindi lang sa atin, kundi sa ibang mga FMCC members. So kayo po ay umaten po diyan. September 17. Malayo-layo pa yon. Umaten kayo roon. Meron tayong seminar dito. That's a Saturday. Tungkol po ito sa pananalapi at mga tinatangkilik. So Jesus challenges our commitment to Him and His cause because He's not content to fill the church with spectators and half-hearted Christians. Hindi po layunin ng Panginoon na mapuno ang kanyang iglesia ng mga multitudes na spectators lamang and half-hearted. What Jesus wants is committed disciples. Hindi po niya sinabi sa atin, go and make converts of all nations. Sabi niya, go and make disciples of all nations. And Jesus says, discipleship is going to be costly. Being committed to Him will cost us much. Yung tayo po ay talaga, nakatalaga sa Panginoon, tayo ay magbabayad po noon. Salvation is free, but becoming a committed Christian is costly. Ulitin ko po yun. Salvation is free, but becoming a committed Christian is costly. There was a pastor by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He lived during World War II, German Prussia. Before the war, he published a book entitled The Cost of Discipleship. And in that book, Pastor Bonhoeffer differentiated cheap grace and costly grace. Yung cheap grace ay pwede kang maging Christian, wala kang commitment. Pwede kang maging Christian, walang true repentance. Pwede kang maging ganoon, ang wika niya. But a true Christian will appreciate and will enter into costly grace. Sapagkat sabi niya, the kingdom of God is likened into a person who have found a pearl in a field and he sold all in order to acquire the field. Kung tunay na ang isang tao ay naging isang Kristiyano, makikita niya the first and foremost, the most important thing in his life would be God. And second would be his cause. Yan ang sabi niya. He paid dearly. Ito pong si Pastor Bonhoeffer na ito. No? Habang si Hitler po ay nilulunok niya ang kabuuan ng Europa, he stood his ground. Marami po mga pastor ang nahihina noon at nakipag-compromise kay Hitler. Maraming mga simba, maraming mga churches ay nasakop ng impluensya ni Hitler at naging mga yes men sila. But Pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer was one of those who stood his ground and stood by the word of God. And because of that, the Nazis killed him. First was sent to the concentration camp and later he was executed. True committed disciples of Jesus Christ will pay the price. How much will it cost? They will be willing to pay for it. Number 3, 4. How can we become committed Christians rather than just converts? Paano tayo magiging mga nakatalagang Kristiyano sa halip ng mga converted Christians lamang? Luke 14:28. Which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Sino man ang sa inyo gagawa ng isang tore ay di muna uupo at kukwentahin, wika niya, kung ito ba ay kaya niyang tapusin. 29. Lest after he has laid the foundation, he is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him. Na kung baka maumpisa niya ang pundasyon at di niya matapos ito, ay magsimula siyang hamakin o tawanan ng nakakita nito. Verse 30 is saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Ang lalaking ito nagsimulang magtayo, ngunit hindi kayang tapusin. Or what king, verse 31, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he's able with 10,000 to meet 20,000. Verse 32, or else, while the others is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So kailangan nating umupo. We need to sit down and we need to count the cost. Jesus gives us two little pictures here to illustrate this. At yun nga po, yung nagtatayo ng isang tore. Now, to bring this home, sabihin natin, nagtatayo ng bahay. Wala nagtayo ng bahay na hindi niya muna kinuwenta kung kaya niyang ipatayo yung bahay na yon para matapos niya. Wala rin namang isang army na lulusob sa gera na alam niya na siya ay matatalo lamang. Alam po natin na tayo po ay merong hindi pagkakaunawaan sa bansang China. You know, our government will be a fool to declare war against the Chinese people. Di ba? I mean, you know, how many? How much army do we have? 250,000 the most. Maybe 500,000. Sabi nga, Lord, let there be no war. Huwag sana mag-gera. Kung hindi, yung mga kabataan natin will have to fight the war. Yung mga 18 years old natin, mga anak natin, naranasan ito ng mga lola natin, yung mga lola namin, naranasan nila ito. Nawalan sila ng mga binata, nawalan sila ng mga anak, ng mga kapatid na binata during the war. World War II, sabi ko, Lord, huwag naman gumrabi ito na to the point na magkaroon ng ganoong confrontation, a military confrontation, sapagkat hindi po yun positibo para sa atin. Who could fight these Chinese? No, there's too much of them. No, they can deploy easily 500,000, you know, of their army to go to war right away. Kumbaga sa kwan, at yung mobilization nila, no, ganoon po. Because being a communist country, mga tao po doon, lahat ay yes lang, yes. Ganoon po ang sitwasyon. Anyways, so, kailangan nating tingnan ano ang hinihingi sa atin ng Panginoon. When I was a single, and when I felt that I'm going to be married, nung maramdaman ko na ako po ay hindi binigyan ng Panginoon ng gift of celibacy, nung maramdaman, and I began to pray for a woman that will become my partner all my life. Isa sa mga hiningi ko sa Panginoon, Lord, bigyan mo ako ng babaeng sanay sa hirap. Sapagkat alam ko na yung aking daraanan ay hindi madali. And therefore, hindi yung babae na maghahanap ng kung ano. You know, sanay sa hirap. Isa yun po sa hiningi ko sa Panginoon. God gave me. You know, hindi yung complainer. Hindi magre-reklamo. Iba po yung mentalidad namin noong mga panahon na yon. Sapagkat during those times, napaka-volatile ang situation sa bansa pong ito. In fact, in 1985, Brother Andrew came to our nation. And his mission was to prepare the church of the Lord Jesus Christ because we might fall under communism. Ewan ko, natatandaan pa ninyo yun. No, pero yun po ang dahilan. Ano po? Kung bakit siya pumunta rito. Tulungan ang Philippine Church, baka ang Philippine Church ay bumagsak sa communism because the New People's Army at that time was at the height. The most number would be at 23,000, no, armed personnel noong mga panahon na iyon. And so, tinitingnan ko po ang pagpapastor na maging mahihirap at na naramdaman namin yon yung mga napapatay sa probinsya na mga manggagawa ng Panginoon. And so I was gearing myself to a life that is difficult. Praise God, hindi naging ganoon kahirap talaga. Ano po, sapagkat hindi naman tayo na-take over ng mga communists, nagpatuloy po ang democracy sa ating bansa. But, kung tayo po ay magiging isang committed disciple ng Panginoon, hindi natin uunahin ang sarap ng buhay. Hindi natin uunahin yon. Sapagkat we are fighting a cause. And the cause has eternal consequences. You know, when the young people of Russia in 1917 banded themselves together, it was a commitment that was made for life and death. And many of them died. But they turned Russia upside down. And in the next 70 years, they ruled Russia. Of course, sinira ng Panginoon iyon. But that's where commitment can get us to. Doon tayo dadalhin ng pagtatalaga natin dito sa gawain ng ating Panginoon. Hindi ba natin titingnan ang cost? Anong ating gagawin? Sabi ko nung lalaman ko na na tinatawag ako ng Panginoon, and most of my classmates were applying for abroad, I made a solemn commitment to God. At kailangan po akong tumulong sa aming pamilya noon, me being the eldest of four brothers. Meron pong matanda sa akin, babae naman siya. Tapos ko na yung aking kurso. No? At may pressure. Hindi galing sa magulang, kundi sa aking kalooban na makatulong sa aking mga magulang. But I made this solemn commitment. I will not leave this nation, Lord. I will not leave this nation because I know that you have called me to the ministry. So that commitment, I have to pay the price for that. And I committed myself to the work of God. And so yung temptation sa mag-apply sa mga juicy employment sa labas. Kasi po, ang aking kurso ay shipyard, no? Nandun ang trabaho. Wala po rito sa Maynila yung mga shipyard. Nasa labas sa Maynila. But then I have to make the commitment to limit myself. Dito lang ako maghahanap ng trabaho. Dito lang ako mag-i-empleyo. Dito lang sa Manila. Hindi ako pwedeng malayo sa ginagawa ng Panginoon. That commitment still stands today. Wherever God sends us, we will go. Wherever the Lord sends us, tells us to go, we will follow Him. See, yung ginamit ng Panginoon sa revival sa Brownsville, who was this, Stephen? Stephen Hill. Yata, Stephen Hill. Sabi niya, I have sold 3 houses to follow the call of God in my life. And if again I have to sell this one that I have, I am willing to make that one too. That's the commitment of God. That's the commitment of God. Or to God. Commitment na manggagawa. Will we have such a commitment? So, may rich young ruler sa Bible who came to Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus spoke to him very plainly. But then at the end, sabi ng Panginoon, go and give away your wealth. Then come and follow me. When he learned the cost of commitment, he was not willing to do that. Nung marinig niya, what price he would have to pay. Then ang sabi, sa Matthew 19 verse 22, when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Kung kayo po ay wala sa kalooban ng Panginoon sa araw na ito, that you would need to make adjustments in your job, in your priorities, sa inyong buhay, then do it. Pay the price. Make the adjustments. Para lamang po kayo ay maka-attend sa mga gawain, para lamang po kayo ay makasama ng inyong pamilya, if possible, araw-araw. Kung kinakailangan kayo ng inyong mga anak, nagpapalaki kayo ng inyong mga anak. Kung makikita nyo na yan ay priority sa inyong buhay. Well, frankly, kung ito pong mayamang lalaki na ito na binata ay papasok sa iglesia, siya po ay welcome. Iwi-welcome siya ng any church. Pero si Jesus sabi, hey, young man, stop right there. If you follow me, if you obey me, this is the cost which you will have to pay. Are you willing to pay the price? And he was honest to himself enough to say, no, sir, I'm not willing to pay the price. With stooped heads, he went away, very sorrowful. But I tell you, in eternity, sino kaya ang malungkot? Sino kaya ang naghihinagpis? Sino kaya ang napahamak? If we are willing to pay the price today, we will heap eternal dividends that only God knows how much He's going to give us. Kaya mga kapatid, gawin natin yung nararapat. Let's not just be Christian converts. Let us be committed Christians, committed disciples. Would you be like, in closing, the rich young man who was not willing to pay the price, to become a committed follower of Christ? Kayo ba ay matutulad sa mayamang lalaki na ito na hindi nagtalaga ng kanyang buhay para maging kagamit-gamit sa Panginoon? Or would you be like the Apostle Paul who said, when people were trying to persuade him, don't go, Paul. They're going to kill you. They're going to bind you in Jerusalem. Don't go, Paul. Please don't go. Would you be like the Apostle Paul who said, oh, for I am ready not only to be bound. The verse before that, he said, why are you breaking my heart? Why are you breaking my heart? Sabi niya. For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. In the class this week, I mentioned about the Moravians. Mga Moravians po ay mga persecuted Christians sa Europe noong panahon na yon. Nag-seek ng refuge sa isang community ng isang mayamang tao. At doon, pinractice sila ang Christianity nila na kung saan ay malaya sila. These were only about 300 people who prayed every day. Who prayed every day for 100 years. Hindi po kayo nagkakamali nang narinig sa akin. 300 people who prayed every day for 100 years. Who sent hundreds upon hundreds of missionaries. Men, parents, dedicating their young children for the cause of Jesus Christ. And everyone who stood before the congregation, in whose heads the elders laid their hands, they were willing to go to people and nations without the prospect of coming home again. Pag sila'y pinatungan ng kamay, sila'y nakalaan na hindi na bumalik doon sa iglesyang iyon. And their commitment brought them to such a state that they were willing to become slaves so that they can reach to the slaves. Reach them out for the gospel of Jesus. What a commitment. What a commitment. I'm not asking you to pray for 100 years. I'm asking you to pray every day. Pray with your wife, not necessarily every day, but pray every day yourself. Pray with your partner. Pray with us here every night. You come and I pray. Pagka may special gathering natin on Friday night at meron tayong mga prayer meetings, come. This is the kind of commitment that will make committed Christians, because those who pray are committed Christians themselves. Amen.